All right, still with us in studio, our panel, Pa Daly of Sinn Féin and Duncan Smith, Labour TD, and Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mirror. And we're joined from our Dáil studio by James Brown, the line minister at the Department of Justice on the gambling bill, who was in the Dáil this evening for that debate. But Louise, just take us through the key points and points of contention, I suppose, on the gambling bill. One of the big ones the government wanted to get through before the big E.
Yeah, and this, anytime you asked about the election, it was always said we need to get the gambling bill through. It's one kind of three or four pieces of legislation that the government were pretty determined to pass. And this has been in train for a very long time. It's over a decade since, you know, this was first conceptualised. So it is through. It's through to the door now this evening. But I guess the gist of it is that a new regulator will be set up for the gambling industry, and that will enable the regulator to impose fines on people, on, you know, bookies that break rules. Those fines can be pretty substantial. It can be up to €20 million or 10% turnover. And there's going to be new rules around advertising, that advertising can only go during a certain time of the day. There is going to be an exclusion register so that people can exclude themselves from, you know, being targeted by bookmakers. I suppose it has been quite contentious, and even in the Dáil this evening, Pa's colleague Piers Doherty was raising the issue of free bets being able to be given. It can be given to the public at large, but it just can't be given to certain cohorts. And, you know, it's kind of been said by a lot of representative groups that this could target, and it could inadvertently target, people who do have gambling issues. And we know that there are a lot of people in Ireland with gambling issues. A recent ESRI study actually found that 1 in 30 adults in Ireland, which is around 130,000 people, suffer from problem gambling, and 279,000 other people suffer from moderate evidence of problem gambling, the most common being actually the lotto and scratch cards. Interestingly enough, the lottery not actually covered in the gambling bill. There would be no curtailment on advertising. There'd be no curtailment on anything like that, despite it being the most common form of gambling. So that has proved contentious enough because, you know, gambling, it can affect not just the individual person, but it can affect the whole family. But right, I think it is being welcomed.
Okay, I suppose let's hear from, I suppose, a self-confessed poacher termed gamekeeper on this, Stuart Kenny, who co-founded Paddy Power in 1982. But since his retirement, he's been highly critical of the gambling industry. And we'll get to James Brown in a minute on this, but I began by asking Stuart Kenny, as someone with the intimate knowledge of the gambling industry that he has and having seen it from both sides, what he made of the gambling regulation bill.
Well, first of all, I congratulate the minister on getting it through. He has faced some fierce lobbying from people associated with the gambling industry, and he's stood firm. I don't think it goes far enough, but it really, he has taken a giant step. The advertising ban is way ahead of what happens in the UK. And he should be congratulated on that. Now, I'd like to say, first of all, I have huge regrets I didn't do more when I was running Paddy Power, when I was involved in the gambling industry, and I didn't resign from the board early enough when I saw that they had no interest in doing anything about addiction. But I think the bill goes very far in some instances and not far enough in another. One of the classic things was the only thing he gave in on was the free bets, that they can give free bets, but they can't discriminate and give a free bet to you and not to another person. It must be to everybody.
All right, so basically free bets can't be given to people who are losing consistently and need to be incentivized back into continuing a gambling habit. But can you see why free bets just weren't banned full stop?
Well, you know, I have to say again, I have huge regrets that I went too far in the gambling industry, and so I do have regrets here, but I would be in favour of banning them altogether. This isn't about sports betting so much as the casino. The online casino, online slot machines, have a higher rate of addiction, according to the British Health Survey, than cocaine, and around the same as heroin. And what happens is, if an 18-year-old, and this is about protecting young people, this bill should be aimed at and is aimed at, when an 18-year-old opens an account to back Leinster Rugby or Manchester United or something like that, within 24 hours, he or she is peppered with offers of a free spin. They're being groomed into free spin on the online casino. They're being groomed into from the not so addictive part of the gambling sites into the most addictive parts of it, the online slot machines, online casino. Now, this is like, it is equivalent to a person going in for their first drink into a pub and having a shandy, and the barman, when they're finished the shandy, the barman offers them a triple strength brandy on the house. That's what they are doing. And that is, if there was one area I believe the new regulator should crack down on, is offering free spins in the casino to people opening accounts in the sportsbook. The sportsbook has a lot of parts of it that are not too addictive, whereas the casino is highly addictive. It is much speedier and much more dangerous. So much so that I was very relaxed about letting my kids open betting accounts. I wouldn't want my grandchildren to open a betting account as long as they are doing this.
And can you understand, Stuart, why these things were retained? Because there hasn't been a mass public outcry looking for free bets. A lot of the lobbying is industry lobbying rather than TDs being contacted in their clinics by thousands of concerned members of the public.
Well, it is interesting, the difference in public in the public perception of the gambling industry. When we started Paddy Power in 1988 and we did surveys, 20% of the population had a negative view of the gambling industry. When the ESRI, the government research agency, did the same survey last year, 71% of the population had a negative view of the gambling industry. TDs haven't woken up to this. This is something that is brewing under the surface, but more and more people are getting addicted. Now, I'm not saying the gambling industry, the sports betting has a proper part to play in the entertainment in society, but it does need curbs. In every other country, they are bringing in curbs. And I, you know, one must congratulate the minister. He has been brave. He's faced down the lobby who wanted certain sports that they could advertise, break the limit, the advertising ban, and he stood firm, and congratulations to him. There are two other things I think the regulator could do. One of them, I'm disappointed, wasn't brought into the bill, but the regulator could still do it. As well as stopping this free spins on the casino being offered to young people, there should be mandatory deposit limits that you, when you open an account, must say what the maximum you want to spend. Because you might be totally sane and rational when you open the account, but under pressure, maybe drunk or something else, you let fly. And that needs to be mandatory, not voluntary. Because the very thing about mandatory limits and voluntary limits, the very people who need the mandatory limits most are the people who won't take them. And there should be, like all financial institutions, they should have to send out monthly statements of how much you invested and how much you lost, to give a wake-up call to people. They say it's available on their sites, but the very people who need it most won't be looking for it.
And that was Stuart Kenny, co-founder of Paddy Power, and a man who, as you could hear there, has his regrets about how the gambling industry evolved. James Brown, you're the line minister on this. Good evening to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening.
You heard what Stuart Kenny said there. Congrats, but key provisions left on the cutting room floor, like the free casino spins and mandatory deposits. What do you say in response to that?
So this is a very large piece of legislation with 270 sections. It's also very complex. Not only are we regulating an industry that is effectively unregulated, but we're doing it from a public health perspective. And that's why there's so many protections in there for people who are suffering from gambling problems, to protect children, and the social impact fund as well, where the industry would be levied to support education, training and treatment, for example. So it's very much coming from a public health perspective. And it's important to say that tailored inducements to individuals, so if somebody's putting down a bet and they stop betting, they can't be offered special odds or free bets or anything like that. So all of those tailored inducements are now banned. It is a legitimate industry, one that has caused a lot of damage, but nonetheless a legitimate industry. And the advice was that we couldn't go with a total ban because you would be into serious competition issues, and it would be potentially challengeable in court. So that's the approach we've taken, is to allow them to do their promotions or their offers, but they cannot target individual people. So those offers must be made available to the public. But what we have done...
Can you constrain to whom they offer them, though? I mean, you know, no. Based on age limits even, over 25...
What the regulator can do in relation to the inducements or promotions is the regulator can make further recommendations to the minister, who can sign off on those regulations without having any primary legislation to tighten up any offers. So if the regulator feels that offers are, you know, the industry is trying to get around this ban on inducements, or the advertisements are tailored, you know, towards women or children or any particular age group, that they can make further tightening of those offers. So there's going to be a lot of powers there with the authority to do that.
So, but the gambling regulator, you're looking for them to do a lot of heavy lifting. So people listening to this, could they detect from that maybe that the bill didn't go as far as you would have liked it to have gone at its inception?
The challenge we have with this industry, it is very fast moving. And I always give the example that about 12 years ago, there was a proposal for a casino in Tipperary and a lot of genuine concern that it would aid addiction. Every 12-year-old is going around with a casino in their back pocket now on their phone and a lot of other things, unfortunately, on them as well. So we need a regulator that has that flexibility. If you get too prescriptive in actual primary legislation, it makes it more difficult for the regulator to be able to move. And in an industry with augmented reality, here, artificial intelligence, blurring between gaming and gambling, we wanted the regulator to have that flexibility. We felt that was the best way to do it, put the principles in primary legislation, but have a regulator coming from public health perspective, because you have to remember that legislation has strong public health guidelines within it, for that regulator to be able to move as the industry moves and flexes with the industry changes.
All right. I do want to just ask you about lotteries, because scratch cards and lottery is the most common form of problematic gambling, according to the research. Could the bill have done more in that regard?
No. So the National Lottery comes under the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, and it has its own regulator, and it is contracted out at the moment to a company based out of Canada. So there would have been all sorts of challenges about bringing that under the gambling bill. I think eventually it will come under the gambling legislation, perhaps when that contract runs out, I think around 2028. But it's only scratch cards from the National Lottery that are not covered by this legislation. If any other company is looking to offer scratch cards, they will be covered by this legislation. So the National Lottery has its own, if you like, cover under its own department, under its own legislation and its own regulator. So they are regulated. It's important to say that.
All right. Pa Daly, any amendments that you're disappointed seeing falling down on this particular legislation?
Yeah, we're just getting back to the National Lottery there. I think it's important to remember that that was sold for about 700 million euro, and it used to make for the state about 300 million a year after the crash and the IMF came in. So I hope that it will be taken back into state ownership once that contract is over. Gambling, we can never underestimate the resources of the companies, and it's important to have a strong regulator. We did ask for the people with lived experience of gambling addiction be included on the board. We were not successful with that amendment. We were, however, and I'd just like to give the Department of Justice, previous Minister Dave Stanton, and the current Minister some credit for getting this piece of legislation through. They did listen to many of our amendments, including some of the ones which dealt with the charity sector and small clubs that were having lotteries in there. There was going to be a cap of 10,000, you may remember that. They wouldn't be able to advertise, there'd be limits in advertising their own small clubs, which most people would agree is not gambling. I think there was some concessions also made to rural racetracks and the advertising at the side of those. Overall, while we're not happy with it, we think it's a step in the right direction. It's crucial, of course, that there should be a very strong regulator, because the power, the resources, and the various machinations of the, you know, any company that is allowed to, or that is in a position to have a comedy festival, which is named more or less in its honour, in a public park in Dublin during the summer. I'm not sure, they have sports washing, they have gambling washing. You know, but gambling addiction is not funny.
So you bar it from sponsorship is your view?
Well, I wouldn't have a festival that's called after a gambling company, and I think that the 90,000 people who have been affected by it wouldn't think that's a good idea either.
All right. Duncan Smith, the bill as it went through today, fit for purpose or not? What would you have liked to see it do?
Yeah, fit for purpose. I think it would be a stretch to say it's not. It is a step in the right direction. The previous legislation dates back to 1956, totally unsuitable, outdated. So Minister Brown should be commended for the work he's done. I think what we'd like to have seen, a number of things added, chiefly, and we had our own gambling regulation bill, the ban on advertising from 2021, led by my colleague Senator Mark Wall. We'd like to have seen a 24-hour ban on gambling advertising rather than just having the post watershed, which is nine, I think, in the evening included in this bill, because the power, and Stuart Kenny mentioned it as well, the power of the gambling companies in their advertising. I mean, they have former footballers, former sports stars. They can be very like funny, matesy kind of approach to ads. Sometimes you can be watching an ad for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and you don't even know it's a gambling ad until the end. You're laughing away to it. It's a very sophisticated very sophisticated form of advertising. We'd have liked to have seen a 24-hour ban on that. So we're a bit disappointed with that. But, you know, the bill, it's good, it's in. Let's get it up and running. Let's get the gambling Authority of Ireland doing its work, coming back with recommendations to the next government, and this is a good piece of legislation from which to build and strengthen our fight against the scourge that is gambling addiction.
All right. Anything you want to answer in that, James Brown?
No, just to say, in relation to the 24-hour advertising ban, it wasn't recommended by the all-party Oireachtas committee the TDs and their parties would have been on that as well. At the end of the day, this will be kept under close scrutiny. We have a powerful regulator who can both impact serious fines on the industry who breached their licences, can also face serious imprisonment of up to 7 years, and a lot of strong public health measures in here. It is a very comprehensive bill, but no doubt if the gambling industry does find loopholes, they will be closed off very quickly, either by the authority or, if necessary, by the legislator.
Can you just explain maybe the, you know, below cost selling of alcohol is not allowed. Liquor licensing has moved to prevent drinks promotions that induce drinking to excess. So how are free bets as an inducement legally problematic to get rid of them, I mean?
Well, they are slightly different industries in the sense a single toke off a cigarette is going to be damaging for you, and there is a public health issue around a single mouthful of alcohol. Whereas gambling, you know, a single gamble is not detrimental to you. It's not very sensible, but it's not going to do any particular damage to you. So our advice to us was that you couldn't go that far in an industry like this that is a commercial industry, and that you would be in serious difficulty, and you would probably need approval from Europe to do it as well. But look,
was any investigation of that done? I mean, when you're looking at a public health crisis where 130,000 people, as Louise Byrne was outlining there, have problematic gambling, according to the ESRI, a further 279,000 have moderate evidence of problematic gambling, and another 590,000 people have at least one negative experience. Is it not at least worth trying to proof that with Europe and explore those avenues?
I think it has to be understood that this is probably some of the toughest legislation on gambling in Europe, and certainly one of the toughest on advertising. So I don't think there should be any kind of sense that this is not tough legislation. In relation to the advertising piece, as I say, it was not recommended by the All-Party Oireachtas Committee. Nobody recommended it from that Oireachtas Committee. They recommended a watershed, and that's what we adopted on the recommendation from that committee.
Was there any legal advice from the gambling industry, I suppose, preemptive warning of legal action brought to you as part of their lobbying effort?
Not that I recall, but I got that much correspondence from the gambling legislation or from the gambling companies. To be honest, it was kind of endless. So it was. I ignored all that, to be honest. I had little or no interest in it. The advice for me is the advice that comes from the Attorney General or from the officials in the Department of Justice, or using my own legal experience as well. I did practice as a barrister for 13 years. And I think when you look at the competition side of it, a total ban on advertisement, I think, would give serious trouble for the industry. But it's not to say that it won't come down the line, but we have gone further than any other country in Europe on this, and it's something we're very proud of.
All right. Good few texts coming in from listeners about the cash machine competition on the rival Bauer Media stations. The legislation is still going to allow that, is it?
Yeah, but they will need a gambling licence. So there was a number of amendments put down by TDs or senators to exempt those types of competitions. I rejected those amendments. They will have to get a licence to continue with those competitions from the Gambling Regulatory Authority of Ireland. It is gambling and it will be regulated as such.
And in terms of horse racing and the dog industry, I mean, is there any view that the funding from gambling, such as it is, with the take the state gets from it, being spread out and funding more sports like football, seeing as Stuart Kenny mentioned there, gambling happens across all sports.
No, it does, and increasingly so across other sports, which is very worrisome, and it's one of the areas that this legislation is trying to tackle. That's why it's so important. The betting tax come was under the Department of Finance. It's set out in legislation how much it is and how it's to be divested. So this legislation doesn't affect that, but I think, it's something that I think does need to be looked at.
OK. Pat Daly, would you take issue with any of that? Did you get your own legal advice internally in Sinn Féin about the issue of free spins or inducements? Would you disagree with the Minister on that?
Well, just when you were talking about the Social Impact Fund and the money that is coming from gambling, we met a lot of people, and I was quite struck by gambling with lives and external gambling, and about families whose children have taken their own lives as a result of gambling. And a survey that we carried out in Sinn Féin with the community addiction sector found that two and three of those had received no funding increase in the last decade. I think the FAI spoke to us saying that they should get more money out of the pie, if you like, because the percentage of gambling in this country on football is way in excess of a lot of other sports, and they feel that they don't get the money filtered back down to encourage local clubs.
All right, Duncan Smith.
Yeah, the Horse and Greyhound Fund needs radical reform. For the people that do gamble, all the money that's gambled, if it is gambled on a League of Ireland match, will go into the Horse and Greyhound Fund, and that's not that's just ridiculous. The fact even that it's a Department of Finance construction and doesn't come in under any of these other related departments and is outside this shows that it's in need of reform. And we've been putting forward amendments in that regard in the last couple of years in the Dáil to see that fund modernised to be moved towards the welfare of animals, to ensure that we're sustaining these industries and these sports, but that the money is being spread across other sports and that isn't just going into the hands, as a lot of it does, into the pockets of horse owners as prize money, which is just totally wrong.
Right, just finally to you, James Brown, at this, the point that Pat Daly made about having people with lived experience on the board of the gambling regulator, why isn't that going to happen? It would seem an important experience to bring to bear on the work of the gambling regulator.
Well, anybody appointed to the board will have to have significant experience in the gambling industry and the pathology of gambling, so that could be a medical professional. The minister will also set out the terms of reference for a public appointment system in terms of the type of people and experience required for that board. So I would expect significant experience of people with that lived experience or dealing with people with that lived experience. But it would be very unusual to be that prescriptive for a board. But this legislation does come from a public health perspective that cannot be emphasised enough. And right throughout this legislation is protecting those people who have gambling addictions in this country.
All right, Minister James Brown, thanks very much for joining us.